Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Hey. We're holding at the bottom of daf Dalet Amud Bey. So we've been discussing the dinim of the Korah and where the Korah has to be and how high it can be. And we said that the shear would be a shear of the 20 amos from 10 tvachim high to 20 amos high. And the question today would be, Hayagavoa. Now this brings us up six lines up from the bottom. Hayagavoa me'esrim abba ubala ma'ato kama mima'et. So let's say that this korah was a little bit too high, and so what you want to do instead of redoing the whole building, you just want to build up the under part of the mavoi so that now you won't have this gap of 20 amot all the way up to the korah. So what would be the din over there? Kama mima'et. How much would you have to lessen the distance over? What? What do you mean, how much? I don't know how much, whatever it is. What the heck question is that? Kama mima'et. Kama ditzarichle. I don't do as much as you need. I don't know. Was it 21? So then make it 1. Was it 26? And make it 6. What do you mean? No, I mean, obviously, I mean, rechavo bekama. I want to know, how wide does this step have to be? In other words, how deeply into the movo does it have to extend? Obviously, I'm not that dumb. I'll make it as high as I need to be. Okay, but how far back into the movo does it need to go? Ah, so that, Rav Yosef says, well, one tefach would be fine. Abaye says, no, you need 4 tefachim. Now, what in the world would the machlokas be here? So, lema bahopli. Mandi omer tefach, kasover mutar leishtamesh tachat hakorah. So, apparently, what Rav Yosef is saying is, the reason that it's good just for a tefach is because, look, I mean, how does the korah work? The korah works, apparently, by having its outermost piece being considered to be a mechitza that is going to come down and close off the area. So once that's true, so then the idea is that it would be, I have to explain something to you, which is quite confusing and is going to be very confusing in this sugya. So we might as well tackle this question now. We need to separate between two separate issues. Clearly, there is a din that a korah or a lechi has to have some element of heker, because remember, we're trying to avoid the possibility that people will confuse a mavoi with a rishus harabim, and or will think that the end of the mavoi is the same as the rishus harabim into which it opens, and come to actually carry from one to the other. These might be two separate reasons. They might be interrelated reasons. That's true. Now, the question is, okay, once that's true and we have that heker, how does that heker work? I mean, certainly it doesn't mean that if I put up a sign that says, attention, attention, you are now leaving the Movoi into Rishus HaRabim, or if I have some kind of electronic voice that as you get to the end of the Movoi, it announces that you're about to get to Rishus HaRabim, that is not going to work as a tikkun for a Movoi. So in other words, you need to understand that whenever we have a goal in mind, we need a mechanism by which to effectuate that goal. That's in general the way the Rabbanon work. There's always an effective mechanism that is predicated on some type of halachic principle. So the question is over here, what is that principle? There may be a difference between the Lechi and the Korah. For instance, a Korah could easily be seen as a specific application or extension of the concept we spoke about yesterday, the good achit and the good achis, which is that there's a god idea. Things can be brought down. There's an extension of that concept, which is called pitikra yored v'sote, which is when you're standing at the edge of a roof that is coming out, then we view the end of that roof as being able to come down and being an actual mechitza at the end. These are not correct applications of those halachas because simply they don't have the requisite width to be able to achieve that. Okay, but the question is, once I make the takana de rabbanan that the korah works, one possibility for the way that the korah works would be to view its edge as coming down, as if it were an actual roof. And then the question would be, which edge? Is it the outermost edge or is it the innermost edge? So that would be the concept of chudo hachitzon, would be yored v'sotem, or would the chudo hapnimi be yored? But that would not take away the fact that it also needs to be a hacker. In which case, there would be two ways of understanding the way that the hacker works over here. And that's what the Gemara is suggesting. So when Rabbi Yosef is saying that all you need is a tefach, that's because he understands that the korah itself essentially is defining the area underneath itself. Because the way that it works is that the outside of the korah is viewed as a virtual wall, and you're allowed to stand under that korah and carry in that area. So then if that's the case, you still have a hacker when you're standing on the step. How do I have the hacker? Because the hacker needs to be within 20 amot. The din that something has to be able to be a wall, we do not believe at this point needs to be within 20 amot. So there might be two issues. The shear of the 20 is, as we suggested yesterday, based on your ability to be aware of it. And that was the comparison to sukkah. There's a completely different way that we could have understood the entire sukkah, which we're about to think about in a few moments, which may be that the shiur of this concept of a mechitza that would be yored is itself defined by a maximum height of 20, because that's the maximum that we were metakein, that mechitzot work. You'll notice that Gavi is standing right under a pitikra yored v'sotein. If he sticks his head any further out, it may get knocked off by the pitikra coming down. This is exactly the type of issue that we're talking about here. So now, at this point, we understand there's two separate things. A mechitza is a mechitza. There's no limitations of 20 amot for the mechitza. The din of the, why 20 amot? Like we said, otherwise you won't notice the mechitza. Okay, that's a completely different issue. So now, assuming that this is the case, then what we would say over here is that according to the way Rabbi Yosef understands it, it's a tefach because it's the outside that comes down. And if it's the outside that comes down, then when you're standing on the stair, you can effectively see the mechitza as a virtual mechitza in front of you because you note that right above your head, there is a mechitza, because it's within your 20 amot, you see. And man di omer masha inkein, the halacha according to Abaye, that is that he holds kasava asur lishtamesh tachat hakorah. He holds that's the inside of the korah that would come down. And therefore, in order to be able to have the heker of the korah, you need to be standing inside of the mavoi. Now, once that's true, you run into a problem, because it means that the shear of the tefach, which happens to be exactly the size that Chazal say you need to have for the Korah, the shear of a tefach only applies to the Korah. It does not apply to the area under the Korah, because there never was a takana to use the area under the Korah, you see? So once that's true, you have to ask yourself, then where does the mechitza that's coming down, where is it applying to? Ah, then you run into a problem. Because if it's not applying to itself, it has to apply to a mokum. Remember, in the whole Masechet Shabbos, what is the definition of a mokum that has chashivut as a mokum? Four tvachim. Anything that isn't arba al arba is bichlal not considered to be chashiv. And as we're going to see later on, there is no such thing as creating a mechitza for an area that is less than arba al arba. So that even if you would have what appears to be a complete rishus hayochid, you build walls with bricks and everything, the problem is that the area enclosed by those bricks is not arba atvachim, forget it. It doesn't have a din of a mechitza. So then that would explain the whole business over here. Assuming that the Korah works as a mechitza. Fine. So then what does the mechitza include? Itself. Yeah, but not if it's the inner wall, then it's not including itself because you can only carry up to it. So then you need four tefachim outside of it to have a makom chashuv. Brilliant. So this gives us basically a really brief insight into the various aspects that we have over here. Two different dinim, a mechanism, and the minimal shear of what that mechitza would be. Now, these are a lot of assumptions, none of which may be true, and we're going to challenge all of them as we're going along. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. It may well be that that's not the machlokas over here, and it's possible that everybody agrees you're allowed to use the area under the Korah. The question is, how does the Korah work? That could be the question. So the Man D'Omer Rabbi Yosef, who is saying that a mechitza, that a Korah works with only one tefach, he might hold that there is no such din as a mechitza at all. He might hold that the din is that the Korah works entirely as a heker. Meaning, I didn't search for a mechanism to turn it into a mechitza. What I did was, as I said, that anything that completely covers the entrance and is noticeable within Esrim is enough of a heker. Fine, so whatever it is, the heker will be for the fact that it's over a tefach. I don't need more than that for a heker, do I? Masha Enkein, if you hold like a baye, he may hold that we do need this mechanism and that a Korah is dafka mishum mechitza. And if it's mishum mechitza, so then you're stuck because then it needs to be a mechitza that is only useful if it's arba tvachim by arba tvachim. So because of that, according to him, you have to have an area that is for tvachim deep into the mavoi. So that's the question. Does it work specifically as a mechitza, or does it work only as a heker? But everybody, as we saw before, agrees that there's certainly an element of heker. This same question we're going to see later on, benogea lechi, and it does not necessarily mean that it's the same mechanism for lechi and akora. They may be opposites, or they may be the same, or they may be in either direction, but we know that we have two separate issues that we're going to need to take into consideration. Or I could tell you there's another way to understand it. It may well be that actually everybody agrees that a Korah works with a heker, and we do not need to have a mechitza. The question over here between Abaya and Rabbi Yosef is a completely different question. I just want to point out to you that the moment that we said what we said a moment ago, that we're going to need a full four tvachim, we have now changed our mind from that first initial assumption. Because before, we thought that according, we said, Aliba de Rav Yosef, you do not need a mechitza for four tvachim, right? As long as it's the outside that was working. We distinguished between the din of the mechitza, where there's no innate limitation of a mechitza that has to be within Esrim. The reason that the Esrim part was necessary was because of the heker. But now we're saying that the moment that you say that it has to be a mechitza, then the mechitza per se has to be within Esrim, in which case the area that's enclosed by the mechitza has to be lifted up for four tvachim, because otherwise you're not going to have a mechitza at all, in which case we've changed the basic assumption, you see? The initial assumption was there's two completely different dinim. There's no inherent halacha in a mechitza that it needs to be Esrim Amma. That's only because of the concept of the heker. So we got into the question, okay, can you use the under part or can you not use the under part? Where is the heker? Now we're saying, no, the moment you say it's because of a mechitza, you're going to need four tvachim. It has nothing to do with the question of the heker. Okay? If you hold it's only mishum heker, so then there's no din of arba tvachim. That's a completely new approach. Now we want to say yet a third approach. And it's possible that both Rav Yosef and Abaye agree that it's definitely mitam heker. And the question over here is, how do we view the din of that heker? In other words, is it the point that the same way that we say that the Korah is supposed to be a tefach wide, so then that is the area of the heker? In other words, the ikar takana of a Korah is we need the heker of a tefach. I don't give a hang whether you're looking at it at the bottom, you're looking at it at the top. The point is that is the heker area. So the din of a tefach is the definition that the Chachomim gave to the heker, in which case it would be the same as the top. If a bottom is one tefach wide, that's the area of the heker of the one tefach above. We don't give different dinim that in this spot it's four tefachim and in that spot it's one tefach. It's all one halacha of a heker. Now maybe that's the question. So Mar Sover of Yosef holds heker shalmata is ke heker shalmala, and there's a concept that Chazal were koveya called the place of a heker. Mar Sheinken Abayi says, well, what do you mean place of a heker? The Korah is the heker. Now the question is, what is the area that you need to be able to see it? I mean, why would I say that heker shalmata is ke heker shalmala? I mean, like, I don't know where you get that from. I need to be able to see it comfortably from where I am. What I need to see is a tefach. But where I need to see, who's to say that where I need to see is a tefach? That doesn't follow at all, as far as I'm concerned. So if it's not a tefach, what is it? Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously, there's no din of mechitza that would require arba tefachim. However, there is the next step up in terms of chashivas. So because I don't see a tefach as being chashiv, so I'll utilize the shear of arba tefachim, not because of the relationship of mechitzas to arba tefachim, says Abaye, but simply because I'm looking for what was in the takana. The takana couldn't have been a tefach. That's never a heker. Unless, I mean, you're talking about the piece that's the heker. So Mamela, the next stage is four. I'm not going to create some new thing, a 3.76. So the next thing is four. Okay, so this would be a completely different approach. Now, there's yet one other possibility, in which case we wouldn't be arguing about this, and actually maybe everybody agrees that, you know, it's actually not such a stupid thing to say that Chazal are koveya a shear of anchor. Shear of anchor is one tefach. Fine. So why would Abaye disagree with Rabbi Yosef and say you need four tefachim? Simply because of the good old problem that we've met so many times before. You'd never know when things start wearing away, and you're not noticed necessarily when your step of a tefach is no longer a tefach, because every single time that somebody stepped on it, he wore away a little bit until now it's not a tefach. So because of that, it's got to be more than a tefach. So make it a tefach and a half? No. The next step after a tefach is arba tefachim in terms of shiurim, that's all. So it's just basically a logistic idea of the rabbanan not wanting to keep us exactly at the right size. And because you're wearing it down, it's not like the korah that's up there in the sky, which nobody is stepping on. Over here, you're stepping on it all the time. And because of that, we did not want you to be semech on just a tefach, in which case it's purely a logistical question. And we don't have all of these brilliant insights into how the whole thing works. So we have completely different approaches to that machloket. Now, how about in the opposite case? How about in a case where the korah was too low? So it was above the ground, less than 10 tefachim, and less than 10 tefachim, we said, is bichlal not considered to be a korah. So what about that? Suppose it was pachot mi'asarat tefachim. Now, you want to make the opening to the mavoi more than 10 tefachim. So you've got two possibilities. You can either build up the wall and put your korah up higher, or you can make a hole and make it deeper. So now you'll be going into your mavoi. So my question was, if chakakbo nashlimo la'asara, so now I want to cut out and dig out an area that will now make it lower. How much do I have to cut it down? What? Kamach, okay, I don't understand what kind of dumb question is that. As much as you need for everything. I don't know how it is. You didn't tell me. You said it's within 10. I don't know. Is it 7? Is it 6? Is it 4? Whatever you need, do. Oh, man, come on. We went through this already. I'm not that dumb. I'm asking you, mishcho bekama. How deep into the mavo do you need to do it? Note that before we used rochbo, as Rashi points out, even though rochbo was a little bit confusing, because it refers to the width, not to the depth, but when you're talking about a step, Rashi says, it makes sense to talk about the width of the step as opposed to the length of the step. But when you're talking about digging out, there's nothing that you're pointing to that you would call the width. So over there, of course, you're going to use the word, the meshech, the depth of which you're extending into the mavi. That's the question. So Rav Yosef says, look, it's got to be four tefachim into the mavoi. Remember that we had earlier on Daf Gimel, we had a whole discussion of what size is an ama, l'chumra, and we said, well, what about if your old meshech mavoi is arba amot? So then that would mean that you're going to be mekel if you're going on the smaller ama. That's this machlokas that we were referring to. So Rav Yosef is saying four tefachim has nothing to do with amos. But according to Abaye, it's four amos, apparently because he holds, like we said before, the depth of a mavoi is defined as a minimum of four amos. Ah, wait, so this seems to be the question of whether they agree with Rav Ami and Rav Asi. We had a very interesting question that Rav Ami and Rav Asi said, and that was in a case where Movoy was Nifrat Mitzido Klape Rosho. Okay, so let's now imagine the case, it's a very simple case. You're standing in a Movoy, you're looking towards the opening of that Movoy, the Petach of that Movoy. You're walking along the Mavoi, and as you approach the petach of a Mavoi, where there is a Korah above you, you notice that a piece of the wall to your left or to your right has fallen down. And now you've got a hole in the wall. The question is, does that hole in the wall disqualify the Mavoi? This is the issue. Why would it disqualify the Mavoi? Well, I mean, a hole in the wall means that now the whole idea of the Mavoi, in which we're going directly into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim from the Mavoi, is basically has been perverted. Because now we are going to be able to sneak out through the side. If it's closer to somebody to cut out on a diagonal, he'll cut out through the side. Why should he go through the front? So if that's the case, then maybe the Mavoi loses its hecker because people are no longer looking always towards the front of the Mavoi. So maybe we need to do something about the side of the Mavoi. I don't know. We're going to see later on that this is a big problem in cases where there's a pirtza in the Mavoi. But remember, pirtza is one din. Pirtza means always more than 10 amos. Petach is another din. So this, if it's less than a 10 amos break, so we have a petach where we have an additional petach. That additional petach might mess up the Mavoi. What's the din? So now Rav Ami and Rav Asi said, if, as you're walking along on your left, you see there's a big hole, you continue to walk, and as you get up to the opening of the Mavoi, that was until last night when the wall collapsed, and you see there's still a piece standing that is up against the front old wall, so that this hole has left a board of four tefachim wide. So now you've got, now here's the idea. Now you've got a korah in front of a mavoi that's four tefachim long before it hits the break in the wall to your left or your right, right? And it says over there, that's good enough. Aha. Uh-huh. So because of the fact that that korah retains its din of a korah because of that little piece of wall, which is only four tefachim, I don't care about the fact that there's a big hole in the wall after that. Okay, what do you see from that? You see from that that four tefachim is the length of the mavoi. Because otherwise, what would four tefachim have to do with anything? So then that would mean that the machlokas between Rav Yosef and Abaye is essentially the question of whether do I agree with this psak that four tefachim is enough to maintain the din of the Korah on that mavoi or not, right? So if you have, according to Rav Ami and Rav Asi, pas arba tefachim, then up till a real pirtza, once it's 10 amos, that's already, there's no wall. But if I have an opening, then I can maintain the kashrus of my mavoi all the way up to a 10 amma break. And that would be okay. Anything that's less than 10 ammas at all is considered to be a petach. But if I don't even have four tefachim next to the front of the mavoi, in which the korah is now being matir, that area, then only if the hole is not there. Lahalacha. How is a hole not there? Lovud, remember? Anything less than three tefachim is, for all intents and purposes, closed. Lovud means it's extended. So but the moment that it's three tefachim, I now have another opening. People can sneak in and out of that opening. There's no mavoi anymore. The whole thing is kaput. So if the shear is only four tefachim long, in order for the korah to still be a korah of a kosher mavoi, then obviously it's telling me that the shear of a korah is four tefachim. There you go. And that would mean that Rabbi Yosef, he agrees with this, which is why he gave the shear of four tefachim to a mavoi, and he's on board with Rav Ami and Rav Asi. And Abaye, he doesn't agree. He holds it's four amot, and he disagrees with this whole thing. Oh, Abaye, well, what are you talking about? I don't disagree with this whole thing. It's a totally different issue. In this case, I have a kosher mavoi. Now, you want to tell me, did I mess up my mavoi? Or can I still maintain the kashrus of my mavoi? I agree, if it was a mavoi in the first place, that it doesn't require to retain its din of a mavoi, a whole new mavoi. I'm not making a whole new mavoi. I just want to know if there's enough here to be chashev, enough for the kara to be applying to. In that case, I agree that for tvachim is enough. I don't have a din of four amot there because it was a mavoi before. I agree with that. So there, in Rabami's case, we're dealing with a sof mavoi, meaning it's the end of many years in which this mavoi was a fine mavoi, and I want to know whether we have to accept the demise of the mavoi or not. Is it the end, the bitter end? No. It's still good if you've got arba tvachim. But over here, you're talking about making a mavoi, right? I mean, it wasn't a mavoi until now because you didn't have the requisite depth, so that there was basically nothing there in the front at all. And according to Rashi's Mash, we didn't even have the sides the way many of the Rishonim learned. So, but okay, we won't worry about that right now. So fine, if you've got four amas, that's the minimum shear that you need for creating a mavoi in the first place. And if not, not. Now, this is the machlokas between Abaye and Reb Yosef that we were referring to earlier on Daf Gemel, where we were talking about the shear meshech mavoi, according to Abaye, is four amas, and according to Reb Yosef is four tvachim, because that's what comes out of this whole thing. Says Abaye, I'll prove it to you. It's impossible for us to believe what Reb Yosef said. For a very simple reason. Ha! It's a brilliant reason. You can't possibly say what Reb Yosef says, because according to Reb Yosef, a mavoi only needs to be four tvachim long, right? But remember that one of the minimal requirements of a mavoi is that it has to have a minimum of two chatzerot opening into the mavoi, and those two chatzerot each have to have a minimum of two batim in the chatzer, right? Remember, just piece of information we've spoken about many times. Now, try to apply that piece of information, and you'll note that it doesn't make any sense, according to Reb Yosef, because the minimal shear of a halachic defined opening is four tvachim. We've seen that many times. We're going to see it many times later in the Masechet. We've spoken about it, legabe doors, legabe chatzeros, in terms of monetary splitting it, in terms of having a parking space in front of the door, a million different halakas. A doorway is four tvachim. Less than four tvachim does not have a legal din of a doorway. Fine. Now, a doorway has to be a doorway. It can't just be a break in the wall, because then there is no mavoi. If the whole piece of the mavoi is completely open into a chutzner on either side, there is no mavoi, gentlemen, okay? Now you tell me, where the heck do you have room for two doorways into these two chatzeros in a mavoi that is a total of four tvachim long, according to Reb Yosef, in which there's no room for a doorway? Ha, ha, ha. And therefore, you can forget about Reb Yosef's sheet. That's a joke. And the next only possible shear, the next shear is four amos, not four tvachim. So I don't know what we're talking about over here. Now, that seems to be a pretty strong objection, except that as Abaye himself points out, now I know what you're going to say. You're going to say that Reb Yosef only said that the mavoi has to be four tvachim long. He didn't say that the mavoi only had to be four tvachim wide. So actually, Reb Yosef meant a four tvachim long mavoi, which is 5 miles wide. In which case, it's got 300 chatzeros opening along the long wall, but it's only four tvachim, right? Wrong. Why do I say wrong? Very simple. Because the halacha is a mavoi is not considered to be a mavoi if it is wider than it's long. Then it doesn't have a din of a mavoi at all. So don't try that one on me. So basically, you cannot figure out a way in which a mavoi like this is a functional mavoi because it can't have any chatzeros that are open to it. So I think that's pretty good raya. Let's see that inside now. It says Abaye, I'll prove it to you. You know what I mean? Allah de Tanya. In mavoi nitar belechi v'korach yubatim v'chatzerot, two batim in each one of those chatzerot, and two chatzerot into the mavoi, ptuchim l'tochah. Now, if Rav Yosef is right, and all we need is four tvachim, please explain to me, heichi mashkachatle, where is there room? I know what you're going to tell me. V'chitem, you're going to try to tell me, oh, you got this wide middle wall. I mean, it might be miles long, right? No. Because v'chitem, remember, Nachman said, we have a Kabbalah that ezeu mavoi shenitar b'lechi v'korah, only a mavoi that is longer, meaning it's deeper, then it's wide. So that doesn't, and it needs bati v'chatzeros p'tuchim l'tocho. So how's Rabbi Yosef going to get away with that? Rabbi Yosef says, well, why can't you have a diagonal? What makes you think that it has to be up against the wall? You're right. Up against the wall, there's no way to do it. But suppose somebody installs a door to his chatzer that is on a diagonal. So it's four tefachim and eats into the middle wall that you're facing. The two doors come facing each other. They end up touching each other in the middle, maybe, you know. And it's cute. So it's this nice little sweet mavui with two full-size doors of a chatzar on either side. And it's sort of miniaturized, you know, but it still fits in within four by putting it at an angle. So it still works. Now, obviously, a buyer holds that that's not the norm of building a doorway. And because of that, it's not reasonable to him. And that's not what it is that the shear was given. We're talking about two psachim. We mean two normal psachim along at least one of those walls or adjacent walls. Fine. Either facing walls or adjacent walls. Neither of which is possible here. Okay. Omer Abaye. All right, fine. You know, if this is not good for you, so I'll bring you another proof. I'll bring you a proof that it's four amas. Not just the proof that it isn't four tefachim, okay? Here's the proof. The Omer Rami Bar Chama Omer Avuna. Lechi habolet midofno shel mavui, pochot mi'arba amot nidon mishum lechi. Now here we have another question. And this question is the shaila of a lechi ha'omed me'elav. Lechi ha'omed me'elav is where the tikkun of the lechi was made as part of a building. It had nothing to, nobody was thinking about it as a lechi to be matir amavui. Basically, we had an extension of one of the walls that was made as a strengthening wall put outside of a home. And it jutted into the mavui. And now it covers over the doorway of the mavui. If you set out to make a lechi, obviously, the bigger the lechi is, the bigger a heker it is. That's not a problem. But where the lechi is not made as a heker and just happens to be there because it turns out that when they built the house, it ended up when they built the houses on the other side, that they ended up with a mavui that's got this lechi sticking out of it because it was part of the other guy's home, that is not considered to be a lechi unless it's not four amas long. So in the case where it sticks into the opening of the mavui, and it's sticking out of the wall of the mavui, less than arba amos, it's a kosher lechi, and you don't have to do anything else to put another lechi on it in order to be matir it, and it's fine. But once it's arba amot, then since an arba amot, now dig this, because this is my raya, says Abaye, since a four amot long wall is the size of the wall that we generally use to be matir the shear of a navi, of a mavui, Rabbi Yosef, did you get that? Since four amot is the shear that we would normally consider to be the wall of the mavui, yes, Rabbi Yosef. So because of that, you can't rely on that lechi as being a lechi because it's really seen as a mavui wall. So because of that, once it's arba amot, then it's part of a mavui. Now you need a lechi acher lahatiro. Now that says to me that the shear is four amot, not for tefachim. Yeah, no big deal, said Rabbi Yosef. I mean, I understand. Lafuke mitorat lechi. So then adi ika arba amot. I understand that he wants something not to be a lechi. For that, it's got to have a real chash of a size for me to view it as something other than a lechi. But if you want to turn something into a mavui that is going to be kosher with a korah or a lechi, I still maintain, even for tefachim would be enough. I mean, it's a different issue. Over here, it's an issue in which it is so clear-cut that it is not really a lechi. It's definitely something else. All right, so that's a different issue. Fine. Gufa. We've got another question over here. And that is, you said that you're going to need another lechi to put on that lechi. I'm just a little curious. I mean, if you put another lechi on the lechi, then all you're doing is making it a longer lechi. I don't get that. If there's a problem in the length, where exactly do you put this other lechi? So, gufa. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Amar Rav Huna. Lechi habolet midof no shomavuit. This was the case that was quoted from Rav Huna, that if it's less than arba amos, then it's fine. Nido mishum lechi, vein tzarech lechi, achalatiro. Then you say, but if it's arba amos, now it's part of a mavui, and now you need another lechi on that lechi in order to be matirit. How exactly do you put a lechi on another lechi? Oto lechi eichad ma'amido. Where do you put that other lechi? I mean, if you just put it on the current lechi, so then you're just making the lechi longer. So either muki le bahadei, usufu de komosif alev, you just put it as an extension to what exists, so then you're adding a problem to an existing problem. How are you solving the problem where the thing is going to be bottled to that wall? Omer of Papa, you're right. You'd have to put it on the other's wall, so it would be facing the lechi that was extending into this one. Rav Huna berated Rav Yeshua says, what's the problem? I don't understand. I mean, as long as it's noticeably different, but maybe make it higher, maybe make it lower, maybe make it thicker, maybe make it thinner. I mean, it just needs to be physically distinguishable from the wall that's sticking out. I mean, look, it's not magic over here. We're looking for a hecker of something that was specifically, but there's a lechi. So what's the big deal? Omer Rav Huna berated Rav Yeshua, I want you to know that you're not taking something into consideration. And that is, how wide is this entire mavui that we're talking about over here? That you're just throwing around these measurements. You're saying, well, once it's four, if it's four amas, then we can't use as a lechi. Okay, what is left after the four amas? How much open space is left after the four amas? Because I can tell you that if most of the wall is now covered with this lechi, then there's no point in adding any kind of lechi because the wall is closed. The din is that in a case where you have most of an area closed and you don't have 10 amos that are busted open, then the entire wall is considered to be shut. That's called omeid merubah al haparutz, to please be written down, and that is a shear. If you've got more standing wall than you do broken wall, then you don't have an opening. You just have a closed area. So we better understand what we're talking about, because this entire description of a four-ama lechi being possible because it's a wall would only be in a case where you have a minimum of 8 amot or up. Then you've got a problem. I understand. But just to make it very clear that if the mavui is only 7 amot and 9/10 of an ama, so in other words, anything less than 8 amas, so then you don't need a lechi anymore. You don't need anything because you now have a completely closed mavui. Do you think with a completely closed mavui you need a lechi or a korah? Even with the tzuras of Pesach, you don't need a lechi or a korah. So over here you have nitar be'omeid merubah laparutz, and therefore it's completely closed up. So it may not be a kosher lechi. It doesn't need to be a kosher lechi. It's a kosher wall. Even better. Now, just in case you believe that the din of omeid merubah al haparutz is not a din that can be applied to a mavui, I want to prove to you that it can be applied to a mavui. And here is my proof, says Rav Huna b'Reith Rav Yeshua. I say that it's a kal v'chomer from the dinim of a chotzer. If a chatzar, which is ina niteret belechi v'kora, the halacha is that if you have a chatzar opening up directly into a rishus harabim, you cannot carry in that chatzar by putting up a lechi or a kora. A chatzar requires a much bigger tikkun than a mavui does in order for it to be considered to be separate from the rishus harabim, and you would need to actually make two lechis, or you would need to have a 4 tefach long lechi. It's a whole different din. And nonetheless, the halacha is that even though it's ena niteret belechi v'korah, it is still yes niteret in the case that it's omeid merubah al haparutz. As long as the wall that is open and the side towards Rosh Hashanah is mostly shut off and it does not have a pirtza in it, so then it's perfectly okay without doing anything at all to be metakein that chatzar. So, I mean, a mavoi that does not require the big tikkun that a chatzar requires, and a mavoi is niter belechi v'kora, So isn't it obvious? Eino din shenitar ba'omin meruba ala parutz. Therefore, I say, this halacha, that I quoted to you from Rav Huna. This is Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua, not to be confused with Rav Huna, was the one that said the Ikra halacha. So this halacha, this is only true in a case where it would not be the omid merub ala parutz. Says the Gemara, wait a minute, that doesn't necessarily follow, because there is also a kula that applies to a chatzar that does not apply to the mavi. And what's that? That's the case that we just had. If you have a hole in the wall in the mavi, and you did not have an area that was four tvachim, remember what the deal was. Once you have four tvachim that are busted close up to the wall, the front of the mavi, it's no good anymore. So then that means the pirtza of a mavi is only four tvachim wide. Masha Enke, the pirtza of a chotzer is 10 amos wide. So because of that, we're much more machmer on a mavui. Maybe that chumra is also a chumra in terms of not allowing porutz meruba ala omid. So, therefore, you can't make that kal v'chomer. Says Igmar, no, you can make that kal v'chomer, because you're asking the kal v'chomer against Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua. He disagrees. He holds that the shear of a pirtza of a mavui is also 10 amot. We're going to see this machlokas later. His shita is only a pirtza of 10 amot is considered to be a pirtza in a mavui. So because of that, it's perfectly good kal v'chomer. Wait a minute. Remember who said this whole halacha? How did this whole halacha start about the lechi that's 4 amot wide? Who said that? Rav Huna. Then came along Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua to explain that it depends on how wide it is. And now you're trying to say that Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua, he actually holds that it is a good kal v'chomer, but the whole halacha was only being said in the first place, like Rav Huna, for God's sake. Rav Huna Dafka is the one who says, beferish later on, that the shear is for tvachim, not tenama. So you can't use the shita of Rav Huna about the din of the length of this lechi against Rav Huna and say that Rav Huna would hold that this is a proper kal v'chomer. It's not a proper kal v'chomer because the din is that we are actually much more machmir when it comes to a mavui by making an appearance of arba'as. What are you giving me this for? Yes, it is true. You're right. Rav Huna pirtzasu be'arba'a. But that, there's no problem over here. You're mixing up two people. Rav Huna was the one who started the whole business about the lechi being four amas. Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua came to define where that halacha applies. Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua personally, though he is a Talmud of Rav Huna, and was coming to explain how would we apply halacha l'maisa, Rav Huna's din about a lechi that is four amas long, he personally argues on Rav Huna when it comes to the question of what the shear of a pirtza in a mavui is. Is it 10 tvachim, or is it 10 amas, or is it 4 tvachim? So he was saying his own thing, albeit it was an extension of a din that he agrees with Rav Huna, which is the halacha that a lechi omid me'elav that is 4 amas long is already not considered to be a good lechi. But now in terms of its application, he has every right in the world to follow his own shita, which is that there's a perfectly good kal v'chomer to be made that porutz meruba ala omid, if it's good enough for a mavui, for a chotzer, then it's certainly good enough for a mavi, and that still stands. So Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua, taima derenav sheka omar. Rav Ashi says, I just want to make a little bit of an adjustment to what Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua said, and that is, he said, only if it's a little bit, it can't be exactly 8, right? He said it's got to be just a little bit more in order that it shouldn't be the parts meruba ala omid. Actually, that's not really accurate. Because if it was exactly, precisely 8 amot wide, I would still not need an additional lechi on the 4 amot lechi. Not because I don't need meruba. I do need meruba. The thing is, though, that normally speaking, unless you're going out to be very mitzamtzim, which would mean that you're using extremely accurate rulers. We are not mechayev you to get your measurements 100% precise. Now, therefore, I say like this. In the event that you have an opening that is precisely 8 amos, and that we know it was built to specification of 8 amos, and they measured it by laser, it was exactly 8 amos, right? You still would not need a lechi in addition to the 4 amma board that's there. Because I'll tell you, mamanafshach, you did not take a laser measurement of the lechi. You only have the laser measurement of the actual petach, okay? So I say mamanafshach. We are not mechayev of you to take a laser measurement. Therefore, you don't really know whether this is exactly something that is half and half, or one side is slightly larger than the other half. Now, you say, I don't know what side is larger. That's fine. You don't know what size is larger. Very good. Let's think about the possibilities. The lechi side is larger. So therefore, it's more than 4 amos and it's posel. Wrong. Because if the lechi side is larger, now it's omed meruba la parots. Okay. So you're going to tell me, well, it's the uncovered side that's larger. Oh. Excellent. So if the uncovered side is larger, then that means that the lechi is less than 4 amos and there's no psul because the lechi is kosher up to 4 amos, right? So what's your problem? Your problem only is that maybe it just worked out that it's precisely the same. And indeed, if I would give it a laser measurement, I would find out the unlikely possibility that it's precisely the same. Okay. So now you've got a suffix drabana, right? Is it smaller? Is it larger? Or is it exactly the same? A suffix derabanan is lekula. And Tosis points out, isn't there a problem over here? Because even if it were a deraisa, it would still be lekula because it's a sfeik sfeika. First of all, is it exact or is it not exact? And if it's not exact, then it's this way or it's that way. So take the total numbers of possible cases. You've got 3 possible cases, exactly the same. Larger than, smaller than. 2 out of the 3 cases, classic physics, right? Which we deal with these types in thermodynamics. What are the total number of possibilities? And then take the way that they work out. So the total number of possibilities are that lamaisa, this will be kosher, either because it's a lefi or because it's an oimed meruba laparutz. And then there's one possibility that it is exactly 4 amos in an exactly 8 amos area. Okay, that means 2 out of 3 possibilities are fine. And therefore, this should work even for deraisa. Why does it only have to be a drabanan? Okay, to be discussed in the Tosis. But anyway, the point is beautiful. And because of this, I just want to make it very clear that over here, you need to consider the fact, let's just see that inside, afilu tema, that it's precisely b'mavishmona. You still wouldn't need a lechi, because consider the 3 possibilities. Manavsha. Either the omed is meruba, so then it's going to be mutter because of omed meruba la porotz, and it doesn't need a lechi. If you're going to tell me the porotz is meruba, then this lechi is not 4 amas, and then the lechi is the thing that kashes it. And what are you going to say next? The only other thing you could say is that it's exactly the same, and that it would be shavu tarvayu ki hadadi. But that would make it a suffix bidivrayam. And a suffix midivrayam, as we know, is always lakula. And therefore, everything should work out just fine. And we don't need anything else to be done.